to East Meets West, episode 168. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
We got a question from Vance in the forums, or not forums. Some people were suggesting we should have forums. We'll get to that later. But in the blog post comments, subbrilliant.com/EMW, Vance says, okay, I am trying to choose among a number of TV series. I think he means he's trying to choose among a number of TV series, new and older, and I need some advice on which I should give priority. Can any of you give me your thoughts on which deserve my time first? Doctor Who, with David Tennant, I have watched a couple of random episodes. Stargate SG-1, haven't watched any yet. True Blood, Torchwood, or Robin Hood, the current BBC iteration available on Netflix. So which should I be focusing on first? They all seem intriguing. I like both sci-fi and fantasy. So several people in the comments gave them their opinions. Mm-hmm. Roger, what do you think?
I don't know. I was trying to watch... This is the thing. I couldn't get into the first season of Torchwood. And people said, yeah, that wasn't the greatest season. This is really picks up in the second. And, you know, with the Children of Earth five-part series coming up, you should get into that. So I tried watching the first installment of that. And I got halfway, and I just... Nothing about it really kind of compelled or engaged me to watch the rest of it. I don't know why. I have a theory perhaps that maybe because it's so localized, it always seems to take place within like a 300-mile radius of
Cardiff.
It just seems kind of like the Doctor, he's in the TARDIS, goes to different planets, different time periods, different location. X-Files, granted they the first 5-6 seasons they shot in Vancouver. Yeah,
they shot them in Vancouver, but they went all over the place in the story.
That's what I mean. So it's just like maybe it's just because it's so localized, it seems like, oh, look, the supermarket's like, you know, haunted with aliens or something, or I don't know. It just feels
like... Yeah, but Children of Earth isn't like that.
At the beginning, no, it takes place in Scotland. And then they moved out to Cardiff, Wales.
Well, and it's also not localized. Like, it's a very global story, eventually.
It is.
Now, what's interesting, I started watching Torchwood in the second season and then went back and watched the first season to kind of get the backstory. And I enjoyed the first season enough that way because it was filling me in on details and everything. But, yeah, I did. I got caught up in the second season, not the first season, kind of watched them in reverse order. So watching Children of Earth, I thought it was fantastic. I loved it. And maybe it's because I needed the backstory, even though we have a couple characters not in Children of Earth.
Yeah.
Maybe I needed that backstory. But I thought there was some weakness. I mentioned this on Extra Life Radio last week. I thought there was some weakness in a few points near the end.
With the entire
of
Children
the fifth
of,
of the fourth like fourth and fifth episodes.
Okay,
but you haven't even got there yet.
No, so, and the thing is, I was after sitting through the Torchwood panel, I was really excited, really psyched to see it, and I sat there and I was watching. I don't know what it was. Just like, you know, when are you going to hook me? When are you going to get me? You know, kind of
the children didn't hook you, huh?
It just seemed honestly when I saw all that with the kids, it totally reminded me of the Pink Floyd. Of the wall.
Hey, teacher, yeah. Leave those kids alone.
It's like, maybe it was that. I don't know. It's just, I don't know what it is with that show. That it just, I don't, because maybe I'm so used to the way Doctor Who is written and the way he bounds around.
Oh, yeah, it's a totally different show.
Yeah,
it's not, you should not watch, this is to the audience, you should not watch Torchwood expecting to see Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because even though it's a spinoff,
they are nothing
really,
alike.
It's not really the same, I wouldn't say they're nothing alike, but they're not. They're not in the same vein.
In the tone, Doctor Who is still marketed, or at least aimed at, older kids, young adults. Whereas Torchwood is definitely aimed.
Oh, it's adult. Yeah,
it's
there's
adult.
A lot of sexual situations.
But
and
even
a lot is made of the fact that Captain Jack is omnisexual. He doesn't, care if you're female, male, or some other gender on some other species.
Yes. I don't know. It's just some with the story. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's too plotting. I don't know.
Okay. So there you have it. I mean, I'm a lot more positive on Torchwood than Roger, obviously. But I would also agree that wouldn't be where I'd start.
Doctor Who, I would actually start with Chris Eccleston. I would start because
he says Doctor Who Tennant, which I don't know if that means he's already seen the Chris Eccleston season or if he's just saying he wants to skip it. I wouldn't skip it. I think it's a good season.
It's a good launching point for the kind of revamp of Doctor Who. And if you actually haven't watched Doctor Who before, it's actually a good starting point, because I've known quite a few people who've never seen Doctor Who before. You know, none of the Tom Baker, Colin Baker, you know, Peter Davidson or John Davidson. And they started with the Chris Eccleston, and it still made sense to them. So you don't have to have, you didn't have to see the prior episodes to make sense of, you know, Doctor Who at that point.
Although it does make you want to see some of them because of the illusions, but and it doesn't leave you out in the cold.
And then you get kind of disappointed when you do turn back and you're like, oh my God, it's so long.
It's not nearly as well produced. Stargate SG-1, I'd say the first four seasons of that really hold up well. Yeah.
Actually,
after
I would say
that,
the first five.
You have to really love it. Maybe five.
And seven is when they really started stretching it. And when they came on with the Ori, it was like, oh my gosh, you basically rebooted a new villain, except instead of the Goa'uld, you gave him the Ori.
I thought better of the Ori than that. Kind of a classic villain, but I like the fact that they were from another galaxy entirely. They were much more religious-based, whereas the Goa'uld were using religion very basely in different ways to kind of override the populace. The Ori felt like they actually believed in their own religion. Up at the top they didn't, but it was much more fanatical in the middle layers.
I'll give you that. And the same thing if you like SG-1 Atlantis, Stargate Atlantis. I don't know if I would actually recommend that as a series for anyone.
I feel the same way about Stargate Atlantis that I felt about Star Trek Voyager, which is I liked it. And it had good stories, but I feel like most people coming into it cold probably aren't going to like it. You kind of have to like that universe already. Although, Eileen loved Star Trek Voyager, like, without really being immersed in the Star Trek universe.
Well, the thing with Star Trek Voyager...
She did like the original series, so yeah. There was some... Yeah.
Star Trek Voyager and Stargate Atlantis both have something in common for me. As a series... They're kind of, for me, I have a very lukewarm attitude toward it. However, there are shining episode moments of particular episodes I thought were really well done and really outstanding. I thought, like, very engaging. But for the most part, I was like, that's why I'm holding out for Stargate Universe. If that turns out really well, then I'll be happy with the franchise again.
True Blood is kind of an outlier here. It's not in the space world. It's not a spinoff of anything. It's based on some books.
Twilight books.
It's not based on Twilight. What are you talking about?
I'm teasing your wife.
She's totally off mic. They can't see her. That's really bad radio, Roger.
This isn't even. You mean really bad audio?
Yes. True Blood, I think I love, but for Vance, if he's looking at all these others, I'm thinking that's probably not where you start. It's very adult. It's the most adult of all five of these. It's very bloody, lots of nudity, lots of adult situations. Great story, though. But I'm just thinking, you know, it's hard to say. Like, Vance is asking the question, and so I don't know exactly what all he loves about TV shows or whatever. But just looking at it, if you're saying, well, I think I might like Doctor Who, I think I might like Stargate SG-1, I think I might like Torchwood, True Blood is kind of the odd man out there, because instead of being about space, it's about vampires and werewolves. Although we haven't seen many werewolves yet.
I've only caught half an episode of Robin Hood.
I've never seen... You haven't seen True Blood, right?
No,
And I've never seen Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, I didn't really think of it as fantasy. It was more of kind of a Robin Hood series, so...
Well, Robin Hood is fantasy, unless you believe there was a real Robin Hood.
No, I mean like Robin Hood in the sense that they're dragons and, you know, elves and stuff like that.
San says, Robin Hood is terrible. Merlin, in the same vein, is probably a better watch.
Is that Merlin? I guess that would
There's
be
that series, yeah.
I don't know, it's you know, most shows, it's kind of where, like, you'll like one show from a particular producer or writer, but for some reason, their next project or their follow-up one, you don't like as much, or vice versa.
Before we move on to other shows that we might also throw at Vance, if he's just picking from these five, and you said, which should you give priority? What's your call?
I would say Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
do you want to go on, or you just want to leave it there?
I'd say Doctor Who, probably say Stargate. I haven't seen True Blood, so I really can't say.
Yeah, right.
And again, with Robin Hood, that's, you know, half an episode really doesn't make. Torchwood, I guess I would put third and see if that kind of spins your gears, so to speak.
I would put them in the order he wrote them. And that's not just because that's the order he wrote them, but like Doctor Who, by far my favorite, then Stargate, then True Blood. Although, honestly, I think True Blood, even though it's only 1.5 seasons long, is probably a better series than Stargate. Only because I'm handicapping it for his tastes. Like, obviously, his tastes run more to the space, so Stargate might be better there. Then Torchwood. And then, of course, I haven't seen Robin Hood, so I can't really speak to that.
Have you heard of that series, Being Human?
Just started watching it yesterday. It was on BBC America. They ran the first episode and the second episode, although they haven't run the pilot episode, because it's kind of this weird thing. The story is about a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost are all roommates. Now, it sounds like a joke, right? Mm-hmm. And they walk into a bar, and the werewolf says, I'll have a glass of whatever. But that's not it. It's actually, it's comic, but it's done with a kind of a serious take on those worlds. Like, it's very dramatic.
For those who are not familiar, essentially the premise is, what if you took your standard young adult, you know, roomie situation, but you gave it a twist in so much that one of the roommates is a vampire? One is
yes, I already told them that.
Well, but the thing is that each person, for example, a vampire represents addiction, a substance abuse, whereas the werewolf represents something that the person wants to get rid of, doesn't want to be a werewolf, but is desperately trying to remove it, and you have a ghost who has a sense of misplacement.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you start in episode one, which aired in January in Britain, and it kind of throws you in the middle of the story with some allusions to the previous story and how they all got there. You have to go watch the pilot to really see how they all came together. The pilot was shot, or was aired anyway, in February 2008 with two different actors. They Mitchell is the vampire, and I can't remember the name of the ghost now. Annie is the ghost. Those are two different actors. George, the werewolf, is the same actor both in the pilot and in the main series. So they didn't air the pilot on BBC America, I guess because they didn't want to throw people off with the different actors. But the pilot is the one that explains how George and Mitchell became friends, because Mitchell's trying to, like, curb his need for blood. And they decide to move in together. They move into this apartment. And they the people renting the apartment have had a hard time keeping tenants because it's haunted. And it turns out it's haunted by Annie. And Annie is like, oh, you guys are cool. Actually, you know, and you can see me because you're supernatural. So, you guys can, why don't we all just be roommates? And so they agree that they'll all just hang out. And like you say, they deal a lot with things with issues of addiction and relationship issues.
I mean, all those characteristics of each of those people is an allegory. At least that's the way they described it in the panel.
Yeah, that seems right, definitely, because Annie is dealing with being a jilted lover.
Yes,
in a way, but jilted by death, not by choice. But they're already, I think it was in the second episode, her ex-fiance, who she was moving into that apartment with, and fell down the stairs and died. Not really a big spoiler. They throw that out there early, so I'm not giving too much away there. He comes over, and then you get to see her reactions and who he's with and what he says and all of that. And she's afraid to leave the house because even though she's dead, she's like just wants to be at home. She's essentially depressed. A jilted lover and depressed. And then, you know, Mitchell is, you know, he's the clearest analogy because he's a vampire and but he doesn't want to drink blood anymore.
Yes.
He wants to go off. They say a few times, like, he's on the wagon.
So, I mean, it's interesting. So, I mean, I'm going to have to catch it, hopefully, somehow.
Well, they've been re-airing them on BBC America.
Which I don't
get. So you should be able to. Oh, you have cable?
I have cable. I do not. Yeah.
You don't have DirecTV?
No DirecTV.
And they don't have BBC America on cable.
That's like the next $60 up.
Oh, it's another tier. Yeah.
So I get Sci-Fi Channel. They used to have BBC America, but they don't have it anymore. I had it like 2 years ago, and then they switched.
They moved it to
another
tier.
I hate when they do that. They do that every year. They redo their entire lineup. It's very irritating.
Well, I was just noticing, clicking around yesterday, that they've moved a bunch of channels around on DirecTV. For instance, G4, as we know from when they took our channel at 354... or whatever, 355, I don't even remember anymore, it used to be up there with the news channels because Tech TV was considered an informational channel. So it was up there with MSNBC, but they've been moved. They're now like down at 280-something.
Is that the men's channel?
Yeah, it's down with more of the entertainment, technology, science, kind of the, in that area. I think GSM is down there too, right next to them. But yeah, and they got rid of CNN International, which I used to love.
They don't show that anymore?
They don't show that anymore.
I used to love that. That was actually the one version of CNN I could stand.
They replaced it with Fox Business News.
Yeah. Actually, what... I don't understand the business. So do all these channels now have their own kind of version of Bloomberg where they just do nothing? But
well, NBC and Fox do. CNN closed theirs. They used to have CNN FN, but they actually closed that down 2003, I think. Because that's when Lou Dobbs went to CNN. Lou Dobbs used to be like the main anchor on CNN FN.
Oh, that's right.
And then they moved him when they shut CNN FN down. They moved him over to the main channel.
Probably should have left him where he was.
The independent.
Should have left him where he was.
Yeah, in the closed channel. Just didn't tell him that it was closed.
How come there are no lights?
Don't worry, Lou. Just read the prompter. Hire an intern to just go in there.
And no, it's basically legal documents one after another. He could do like the VO for the phone. What do you call it? When you dial into a phone network.
Yeah, the telephone tree.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you for calling Cable News Network.
If you want to talk to Lou, press one.
Yeah. So, being human, worth seeking out. They do have the pilot on YouTube. I don't know if it's supposed to be on YouTube, but
well, if it
there.
Is, and if it's legal, I'll watch it. Yeah. The pilot, but not the first episode.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you'd find out the first episodes beyond torrenting and breaking the law and all that.
Breaking the law.
Yeah. But then during the Torchwood Children of Earth, they were advertising quite heavily the Doctor Who, the next episodes of the Doctor Who, which are going to be coming to BBC America instead of Sci-Fi.
So Sci-Fi no longer will have Doctor Who.
That's what it sounded like. Although they may do the reverse of what they did with BBC America, because it used to be they would run on Sci-Fi and then they would run them on BBC America later.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll do it that way. Maybe BBC America will still get them, because they said they're going to get them. Remember they said in the panel at Comic-Con, they're going to get them closer to air, and then Sci-Fi will run them on their normal schedule or something. I don't know.
Right, good. You know, but that still works. As long as they get my Doctor Who fix.
Yeah, you got to get some kind of fix, because you're your East meets West analogy for addiction.
Am I?
Yeah, yeah. You didn't realize that?
No.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me.
That's pretty much it.
This is really an intervention when I come here.
Now, I'm glad you finally recognize that. We got a suggestion from Joshua Hill about the great discussions that happened in the comments on the sabrilliant.com/EMW blog about making a forum for East Meets West, where folks could go and like do threaded discussions of these different things. You know, things like, you know, when Tech Priest starts to write his long explanations. He in fact, on the last episode, he had written a really good post about his investigations into the two-party system and how it works differently in different areas of the world. That could be an example of how we could carry that into a forum post, and then people could comment on it and carry discussions along that way. What do you think?
I like the idea. Unfortunately, don't forums at some point require... I mean, we could get someone to moderate it.
That's one thing. Forums do require moderation, although I'm sure there'd be people who would, you know, step forward and say, yeah, I'll moderate it.
How difficult would it be to implement? I mean...
I could probably put something up. There's lots of good bulletin board software out there that's open source that you can throw up. It does cause problems every once in a while, because forums are a haven for spammers,
yes,
as are blogs. I mean, there's always the dealing with the spam on blogs. Forums are a little more wide open to that sometimes. They go down. Sometimes you have to get the host involved in blocking spam attacks to forums. So it's a little bit more maintenance that way, but it's definitely technically feasible. My issue with it is forums just seem to degenerate.
They do, and I think that's... And oftentimes you see it degenerate when you see, you know, a handful of really kind of heavy posters who start kind of co-opting the entire, not just the thread, but maybe the entire board in really extreme circumstances where they're just, you know, posting, you know, things, and there's a tendency for people who are new to it not wanting to post because then they feel like they feel intimidated.
Yeah, exactly. Every forum that I've ever been associated with, going back to the original Subbrilliant forums in the late 90s, have always started off very vibrant with a lot of people pitching in, a lot of ideas. Then somebody comes along that's either a troublemaker or wants to make a point about free speech, and then you start your troll threads where somebody's like, you know, I think this is all a bunch of crap. Well, if you don't like it, why don't you just go away? Well, why don't you go away? Oh, so I'm not free to say what I think? Oh, you know, and that seems to be every forum I have ever been involved with, and I hesitate to do that again with East Meets West.
Because it is a pain. I mean, it really makes what could be a very interesting and engaging kind of discourse, and turns it into like some weird school ground, you know, I hate you, you hate me.
Yeah, exactly. And it never starts that way. It always starts with the best intentions, and it starts with people really excited. But for some reason, there's something about that form of communication that just some, and I'm sure there's been studies done on it somewhere, it just leads you down that path to trolldom. And if you look at forums that have been around for a long time, they're either extremely moderated.
Mm-hmm. Heavily moderated.
Or they have degenerated into kind of a, you know, a bitchy little sniping session.
They always do the weekly banhammer.
I mean, look at Slashdot, for instance, which is essentially, kind of a mini forum for every
post. It's actually gotten a little better than it was a year ago, but you still get a lot of kind of circular arguments going between, you know, five or even, you know, six, seven, eight people.
Anyway, so I guess I'm taking this as an opportunity not just so much to say whether we should have an East Meets West forum or not, but is there a way to get what Joshua Hill wants without risking that downhill slide that you always have in forums?
Someone would need to take complete ownership of it that is interested in having that.
I think it's in the forum, though. I don't even think it's just in the moderation. Like, I think it's there's something to the idea of a message board that just brings that out, no matter what. And I'm wondering if there's a different way of having discussions like that. Maybe it's just a chat room, you know? But then you don't get the long, thoughtful posts. Chat room is more quick, you know?
What about quick fire? Pay-to-post.
Pay-to-post.
Like you pay like 3 cents for each post.
Yeah, is there a system for that? That's not a bad idea. That's an idea worth considering. Anyway,
and then that could help fund our, you know, beverage snack requirements for the show.
that's our monetization
Woo-hoo!
Plan.
Look, we made 75 cents.
Take this, YouTube. We've got a business plan. Tech Priest posted 3 times. We got 50 cents.
50 cents.
Yeah, I mean nine cents under your plan. I was going to charge more. But yeah, I mean, think about, okay, what do we got? What are our opportunities? You have make your own micro blog, yeah, like a Twitter, doing some kind of identica thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that doesn't allow for the long, thoughtful posts. You have message boards, which we've talked about. You have chats, which we've talked about. What else? Other than comments on a blog, which is what we have now, which, you know, I don't want to curse ourselves, but seems to work well so far.
It does.
It moves us along. It doesn't do for Josh is it doesn't allow him to keep going with the topic.
I see their point, and I see people being like, well, you know, is there any way we could, maybe what we could do is, instead having the current show, then beneath it, we'll have the most talked about show below it, where if people keep adding to that thread to a particular episode, it would show up. So people, it's like, there's activity. I'll go back into it and post some more.
Or we could do a non-show post when a topic really starts picking up.
Yeah.
And have like move the discussion to a blog post with the thread simply about that. Because I think one of the things with, and this is, I'm starting to think, one of the things with message boards that, that causes it to degenerate is the act, the threads are really defined, and therefore either broad or inapplicable to the discussions that people want to have. So you're looking for a way to be more flexible as the discussions change. And then we could bring back certain threads to go along and link out to them with episodes. Like if we go back to talk about the Electoral College or elections or whatever it is. It's an idea worth kicking around, though.
Definitely.
I like that. Maybe there's a better WordPress theme out there that allows you to handle that. This one's okay. It certainly looks nice. Because Jonathan and C and his brother designed it. But it is limited to, you know, you've got those three areas and you can have the posts feed in from different categories, but it's not as easy to float things in and out as it might be.
We'll have to think on it.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for the thought-provoking discussion of that. And you got anything else you want to chat around about before we...
No. You can all... Oh, if you're curious about what Comic-Con looks like, you can find pictures that I posted up on Flickr at flickr.com/RogerChang.
All right. See you next week, or post your thoughts at subbrilliant.com/EMW.
Bye.